Okay, so I'm really glad to be able to preach, and I find it a privilege, so I'm glad all of you are here today. And I just hope that since I'm without the aid of a microphone, that you'll keep close ears and keep a listen out, because I can't really shout that loud like Dan or Pastor. So I'm just going to pray and ask God to help me before I begin. Dear God, glory be to you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, just for gathering us together on your day, Lord God, on the Lord's day, just to come together to remember Jesus Christ and just to remember his resurrection, Lord. And Lord, I just am really privileged, Lord, just to be the one giving the message today, Lord. Of course, I'm not worthy, but I pray that you use me as a vessel today, Lord God, to preach the word to these people. And I pray that you give us just an understanding of what your word is and how precious it is, Lord God, that we will be just driven to study it, Lord God, and just driven to appreciate, Lord, what we have in the King James Bible, Lord God, and just that we would study it and read it daily. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message today is How to Hear from Heaven, How to Hear the Voice of God. Introduction. The majority of people all over the world today have a sincere desire to hear from the spiritual realm, to obtain knowledge from beyond this physical world. There are those that seek to interact with spirits and those that follow after prophets, gurus and wise men, hoping to hear the truth about our existence. There are those living in the 20th and 21st century who have claimed to have seen apparitions and visions of Jesus, Mary the mother of Jesus and angels, showing them what they need to do and what lies ahead for the world. There are those who even claim to have died, gone to heaven, and communicated with God himself there before returning to their bodies and coming back to life again. There are also those who claim to have been abducted by extraterrestrials from outer space and given knowledge about the creation of the human race from an advanced race of aliens. Many Christians even tune into religious channels on television presenting men and women who say that they have direct communication with God. They allegedly hear God speaking to them audibly, giving them messages for their congregations and for those watching their show from at home, like the God Channel and these kind of channels that we have on the modern day televisions. There are churches, even in this part of the country, whose pastors and leaders claim to be able to hear audible messages for their congregations directly from the Holy Ghost. So I think we can agree that most people desire to hear God speak. But the question I want to answer this morning is, does God speak today? Does he communicate with us? And if so, how can we hear God's voice? How can we hear from heaven? So if you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. And my preaching is just mainly going to be about from this chapter. So if you want to keep your finger on it while we turn to other verses. But the main verse is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 21. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 21. So I'm just going to read all these verses. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So how to hear from heaven? Number one, point one is turn away from fables. So I just want to draw your attention to verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his glory, or of his majesty. So basically Peter is saying, Christianity, what I have told you as the apostle of Christ, as Peter, what I have told you is not a hearsay story or a fable or a made up imaginative tale. It's the truth of God that he heard from heaven himself. So I just want you to notice that there's a contrast. There's a contrast there that Peter's talking about between fables and made-up stories and the truth of God, the revelation from God out of heaven. so do not follow after fables if you want to hear from heaven. Of course, some fables come in the form of fairy tales that nobody takes seriously. Like when I was growing up, I heard a fable about St. Patrick that he banished all the snakes out of Ireland. And we all know that's a fable, you know, because there probably was never any snakes in Ireland anyway. Like, you know, like you'd wonder who's, if St. Patrick banished all the snakes out of Ireland, who banished all the elephants and the giraffes and the tigers, you know what I mean? Of course, Ireland doesn't have any of these animals. I also heard a fable that I believed up until I was about 11, that an overweight superhero in a red costume delivers gifts once a year. You know, that was another thing I grew up with. I also heard that a magic rabbit drops off chocolate eggs in the Cadbury's box every Easter. You know, but there are more serious fables than these childish things. Our world is full of imaginative stories and fictional tales where God's words will never be found. Some of these fables and made-up stories I've already referred to in my introduction, like aliens and etc. But there are lots of religious fables. Religious texts such as the Jewish traditional books, and the New Testament talks about the Jewish traditions that they added to the Word of God, the Hindu scriptures, the Quran and Muslim traditions, which me and Jim dealt with yesterday, speaking to a Muslim, and the Mormon scriptures contain many made-up stories. I heard some religious fables when I was growing up, like Mary was sinless. She never sinned once in her life. And that she never actually died, that she ascended into heaven, and that she was crowned the queen of heaven and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's all made up because it's not in the scripture. Later, I heard a fable that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and had children that lived till this day. These are all fables. But there are also very dangerous fables in our world that have no evidence. Things that God never said. Like, everybody gets to heaven in the end. That's a very dangerous fable that people are trusting in today. Only mass murderers like Hitler and Saddam Hussein go to hell. That's another very dangerous fable. And probably more dangerous than those, everything evolved from a germ in the ocean, which is a very dangerous fable without any evidence. So there is a stark contrast between the fables of men and the words of Almighty God spoken from heaven, as we see from 1 Peter when he makes a contrast between the two. But God's voice is not heard in fables. But probably the biggest fable that keeps us from hearing God's voice is not a man-made religious fable or even the theory of evolution, but rather it is a fable cunningly devised by the master deceiver himself, Satan. This fable cunningly devised by Satan is that we don't need God. We don't need to listen to his voice. We can do things our own way. We can be our own God and everything will work out fine. This fable keeps people from pursuing after God and hearing God's voice. If you turn to Genesis 3, please, we can see this fable being told. Probably the first fable ever told since the foundation of the world. Genesis chapter 3. And we start in verse 2. Speaking of Eve, Adam's wife, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said. Notice that God hath said. This is God's revelation. This is God's words. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the devil, the serpent, basically taught Eve to reject the word of God. You don't need to listen to God. You can be your own God. You can know good and evil yourself. This is the fable that keeps us from the word of God. And then we see Eve rejecting the word of God and thinking she doesn't need it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, notice she's no longer trusting in the word of God. She's no longer looking to consult God on the matter. She's thinking with her own mind. She's thinking with her own heart, her own intuition. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, these were all things that basically her own ideas, her own feelings. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. So we see that's the great fable that keeps us from hearing from heaven. The fable that we can be our own masters, make our own decisions, based on our own mind, our own beliefs, and our own intuition, without consulting God's word. God's words is a fable that leads to destruction. It deceived our mother Eve back then, and the fable is still believed by the majority of people living in Western Europe today. When we cast off the word of God like Eve did, and pretend that we don't need it, things do not work out fine. Eve was just thinking with her own mind, you know, God said this, God said that, but I'm just going to, look, this fruit looks good. And look where we are today. The reason why there's sin in the world, the reason why there's pain and suffering and wars and stuff like that is because of this decision. Just to reject the word of God, like, we don't need God, I can do things my own way. So, hope to hear from heaven. There's other fables that keep us from hearing God's voice. If you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, which elaborates on this, on these fables. Second Timothy chapter 4, and we start in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. This is speaking about Christians. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Fables present people with another option to following the word of God, to keep men from studying the Bible. Think about it in this way. There's televised fables, TV sitcoms, soap operas, movies, cartoons. And people's obsession with these things keeps them from studying the word of God. It takes up all their time. Computerized fables keep us from studying the word of God, like video games. These are all made up stories. And we see that people end up following these fables instead of the word of God. People end up dressing like movie stars and emulating characters from TV shows. People end up following fables instead of the words of God. The more violent movies and even video games become, the more violent society becomes. Yeah. So people are following fables instead of God's words from heaven. The more immoral and improper TV shows become, the more rape and fornication goes on in our country. If you give time to these fables, they will rob you of your time and ability to read the Bible and to hear God's voice. So we see that there's a contrast between fables of men and of the devil and the words of God. So if you turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1 again, and the title of my message, How to Hear from Heaven. Point 2 is, consider what you hold in your hands. So if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 now, Peter continues, For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So Peter recounts a great event that took place as he followed Christ during his ministry, where he actually witnessed the glorious voice of God the Father speaking from the heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration. No doubt this would have been an amazing experience. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 17, we see Matthew records this experience, or this event, in the life of Christ, and goes into more detail on it, so which will help us understand it. And myself and Noel, when we were over in Israel, we actually drove past this mountain, the Mount of Trans, where they believe Jesus appeared. We drove past the mountain, where God spoke from heaven. But, you know, I'd love to climb up the mountain someday, you know, but we didn't get a chance that day. But it looks really cool. Matthew 17, 1-8. So this is a more detailed account. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So God spoke out of heaven. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So basically, Peter, James and John were up at the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And they saw Jesus being transfigured and Moses and Elijah appearing to Jesus. And then they heard God the Father's voice in a cloud come down and spoke to them personally. But I just want you to imagine today. Imagine if, as I was preaching, you know, as we're all gathered here together in this room on a Sunday morning. Imagine if a cloud from heaven just came down, and God spoke out of the cloud. You know, can you imagine what that would be like? That would be just an amazing experience. If God were to come down in a cloud and speak to us here today, like He did that day, people in this room would be afraid and tremble in fear of His presence. Some people would hide under the seats and cry out in terror. Others would fall on their faces in worship. People would get on their knees and immediately repent of the foolish sins that they've been holding on to. If God were to speak to us today, as He did that day, in person, audibly, with a voice like thunder, the people in this room would listen carefully to every word that God says in fear and trembling. I mean, nobody would dismiss God's words. People would be ready to obey God's voice. And everybody in this room would be changed forever. Their lives would be changed forever. But notice what Peter says back in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you want to turn back there again. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 he says, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." But then he goes on and he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Peter says, we have a more sure word than God's audible voice from heaven on the holy mount. We have a more certain, final, more authoritative testimony, a more firm witness, God's voice. And that's, he's talking about the Bible. And you might be thinking, you know, how do you know he's talking about the Bible there? He just says we have a more sure word of prophecy. So if you go down to verse 20, if you look down at verse 20 of the same chapter, knowing this first, he says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So we see here he's referring to the Scripture. Yeah. If you also look in chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. he actually calls the epistles of the New Testament, he's talking about the epistles of the New Testament, he calls them Scripture. 2 Peter 3:15, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest." And he's still referring to the epistles of Paul. "As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." So Peter says Paul's epistles and the epistles of the New Testament are scripture. And also Paul, of course, we know that Paul referred to a verse in the Gospel of Matthew as scripture. So we see that when Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy, he's referring to the scripture. He's referring to the New Testament. And of course, he's referring to the Old Testament, which was referred to as Scripture throughout the New Testament. So he's talking about this book that we hold in our hands today. So so does God speak today? Obviously, the answer is yes, he does. Does he communicate with us? Yes, he does. How can we hear God's voice? How can we hear from heaven? It's from the Bible. That's how we hear God's voice. So notice that he says we have a more sure word of prophecy. We possess God's word right here in our hands. If you turn to Ezra 7:14, we can see just a verse that says this. Ezra 7:14. We have it right here in our hands. He says, "For as much as thou art sent of the king, and of his seven counselors, to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand." Not the law of thy God which is in heaven, or the law of thy God that passed away in history, but the law of thy God which is in thine hand. It's in your hand today. We don't need to go into space on a rocket to get to the words of God. We don't need to go into the depths of the Atlantic Ocean to find them. We don't need to go to heaven to hear God speak, or go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land to try and find the words of God there. We have it in our hands, in our own language. The Word of God is available. It's available over on that table over there. It's available in any Christian bookshop.
Yes.
The more sure word of prophecy, this is the Bible. The more sure word of prophecy is the Scripture. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy now, chapter 30, we can just expand on this point. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10. We can start in verse 10. Deuteronomy 30, 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. So this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. He says, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. He's talking about the book of the law, the word of God. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So we see that we possess the word of God today.
Yes.
The sure word of prophecy that Peter is referring to is not the NIV or the New King James Version or the Good News Bible or any modern Bible translation. None of these are a sure word of prophecy. Listen to the word sure. The Bible doesn't need to be updated and constantly adapted and changed if it is sure. If it's certain, it's certain, it's solid. I have an NIV here, and I just want to read just a note from the NIV just to give you a sample of how Bibles like the NIV and these modern Bibles are not sure Bibles. So if I open my NIV to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, on the top here it has a note, and it says, the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have John 7:53 to 8:11. So it's making you doubt whether this is really part of the Bible, and yet they actually include it as part of the Bible. So it's this is supposed to be a sure word of prophecy, and yet they're completely contradicting themselves. They include it in the Bible, but they say it shouldn't be in there because it's not in some manuscript. You know, this is one that you should all know. Acts, if you turn to Acts 8:37 in an NIV, it doesn't exist. It just goes from verse 36 to verse 38, and there's a footnote at the end that has verse 37 as if it's not really meant to be part of the Bible. So you don't know whether it's meant to be there. I mean, if it's not part of the Bible, why did they even put it in the footnote at the end? You know, so they skip a verse. So these are not the sure word of prophecy. The only sure word of prophecy is the King James Version that has all the verses. There's no verses missing. The sure word of prophecy for the English-speaking peoples of the world is the King James Version. No missing verses, no questions, no updates or alterations. It's perfect. But notice, you know, Peter's the one that experienced God's voice speak to him from heaven. And yet he's actually saying, yeah, that was an amazing experience, but actually this book is actually better. This is a more sure word. Like most people who say, oh, I heard God speak to me, or I saw an angel who told me this or that, they always reject all the other stuff that's gone before. You know, like Muhammad, he says he saw an angel tell him what the Bible doesn't say, which is Jesus is not God or something like that. And he said, no, obviously he's rejecting the Bible for the angelic experience. But when Peter saw or heard the voice of God speak to him from heaven, he's saying, you know, that was good, but what you have is actually better, the scripture. And he's nothing to gain from saying that. But why do we not desire to read God's words like we would desire to hear his audible voice? I mean, everyone in this room, I'm sure, would love to hear the voice of God speak to them personally. But not everyone in this room really desires to read this word of God, which Peter says is better. Imagine that something more powerful, more glorious and more profound than the audible voice of God from heaven gathers dust on shelves from year to year in homes all over the country. Imagine that God's written words, better than his spoken word from heaven, is left in the back seats of cars until church again next Sunday. Never to be opened or read from one end of the week to the other. It's really ridiculous. You know, Christians say, I don't have time. I don't have time to read it. You know, that's just like saying, you know, it's just like God showing up and just saying, look, God, look, I know you want to do something very important to tell me out today, but look, I don't have time. I need to take a shower and go to the shop and buy new socks. God, I'm sorry. I just don't have time. It's the same what people do with the Bible. I just don't have time, you know.
Yes.
Christians are too lazy to read it. I mean, imagine if we were in bed or something like on a Saturday morning or lying or something like that, and God spoke out of heaven to you personally. Would you just say, "Oh God, I'm wrecked. I'm really tired. Look, late. I'm going to get up at 12 today. Just come back to me later." You know, that's basically what we do with the Bible. You know, we're too tired. We're too lazy to read it. It's ridiculous. Why do we not tremble at the words of Scripture as if we would if God spoke to us personally and audibly? Because it's better than if God spoke, according to the Apostle Peter. Isaiah 66:2 says, "For all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." He's talking about trembles at the word of God, at the Bible. Why are we not ready to obey the words of Scripture and let the Bible change our lives the way God's audible voice would change our lives? It doesn't make any sense. Peter the Apostle himself, who spent 3.5 years with Jesus and heard God's voice from heaven on that day, said this Bible is the more sure word of God. Yes. God speaks today directly, personally and openly through the Bible. God desires to speak personally to everybody in this room. If you personally take the time to go to the place where God speaks today, the Bible, and let him speak, he will speak to you. I just two examples from my life when God really just spoke to me from the Bible. You know, there was one time when I was praying to the Lord, and I was just asking him. I just said, "Lord, you know, if I could be in heaven, and if I could see you and Jesus at your right hand, and you know, if I could just be there for even like 5 minutes, that would make me such a better Christian, because I would have such a greater faith if I could just see you in heaven, and it would make me a stronger Christian, a stronger witness in this world." You know, and so after I finished praying, you know, I had my breakfast, and I turned on Alexander Scarby's recording of the Bible, which is available over there, I believe. Or Dan spoke about it, anyway. It's just Alexander Scarby just reads the Bible, basically. It's just pure Word of God on CD or on MP3. So I just flicked it on, and this verse came up. The verse that just totally wasn't in my mind at all at that point. John 20:29 came up. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." You know, that verse really just struck me at that moment. It was just like God really spoke to me, because it was just, out of all the whole Bible, there couldn't have been a more relevant verse for what I was praying about just even a few minutes before. Another time, you know, I was very sorrowful, because, you know, I see a lot of Christians in my years over in the church. I've seen a lot of Christians fall away, and just, we never see them in church anymore. And, you know, I just wonder what happened to them, you know. And, you know, there was a particular time that I was just really sorrowful about, you know, all the Christians that just go missing. And I just decided to, you know, just take a trip to the seaside, like, just to have a nice walk and just to cheer myself up. And I brought the Bible with me, and I just sat down on a rock or something like that in front of the sea, and I opened the Bible, and as I was doing my daily Bible reading, you know, like one chapter after another, it wasn't just like a random opening. I was just happened to be on 1 Kings chapter 19, and 1 Kings chapter 19 is just tells the story about Elijah when he was in the wilderness on his own, and he complained to God, and he said, that, you know, that Israel had forsaken the Lord and had torn down his altars, and he was feeling really sorrowful. He was just going through exactly what I was going through that day. And God, you know, really cheered him up when he said in verse 18, in 1 Kings 19:18, he said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." And just, again, the word of God had the exact answer I was looking for that day, you know, just when I opened up the Bible in that moment. So God will speak to you if you desire to hear his voice, if you go to the Bible. So how to hear from heaven. Point number three, how to hear from heaven: take heed to the Bible. So if you go back to our main focus, our main verse, which is 2 Peter chapter 1. If we look at verse 19 again. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." So we need to take heed to the Bible. Peter, through the Holy Ghost, says we will do well if we take heed to the scriptures. We will do well. Christians progress and advance spiritually by learning the Bible. Bible study is a more than essential aspect of succeeding spiritually. And I'm sure a lot of you will be familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16. For the word of God all scriptures is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. So the word of God, truly furnished unto all good works, the word of God makes us perfect as Christians. The word of God is compared to the vital necessities in our lives. For example, bread. The word of God is compared to bread in the Bible. Luke 11:3 is when Jesus says, give us day by day our daily bread. He's referring to spiritual bread, which is daily Bible, daily truth from the Bible. Also, Jesus said to Satan when he tempted him in the wilderness, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we see that the word of God is compared to bread. It's also compared to something as important as milk. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It's also compared to the vital necessity of water. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we see the word of God is compared to bread, milk, and water. Just as a physical body would wither and become malnourished, filthy, and immobile without daily food and water, our spirit and our Christian life will waste away and rot if we don't take heed or take time to read the Bible. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So take heed. So we need to take heed to the Bible if we want to hear from heaven. Yes. You will not hear from God by just casually skimming over the Bible, doing it as a chore. You know, like if you're just reading, there are false prophets also among people, if there shall be false teachers among you, privilege shall bring in. Yeah. My Bible reading is done for the day, you know. You're obviously not going to hear from God if you do that. just an example would be, one time on a Wednesday night, we have prayer letters from the missionaries, and Pastor Craig asked me to read out a prayer letter from the Zhuans one time, and I was like so concerned with just getting the words right and just saying everything properly, like because everyone was listening, you know. I actually didn't have a clue what I read. And then, I didn't have a clue, like I couldn't remember. And then he said, "Oh, will you pray for the Zhuans needs there, Barry, as well?" So I had to pray in public for the Zhuans needs, and I had no idea the whole thing that I read, even though I read it out loud and stuff. So if you read the word of God like that, you will not hear from heaven. You know, there's some people in the church that are doing their leaving cert, some teenagers, you know, and if they're reading the Bible, or if they're reading their science book or the maths book, and they're not taking heed to what they're reading, then they're just going to do no good. It's a waste, complete waste of time when they go into the test, because they won't remember any of it. God says we need to take heed to the word of Scripture, pay attention to the words, take time to understand, observe, and think. And this is what this month is all about, teaching about studying the Bible. Study the Bible, taking hold of every word, pondering on the Scripture, meditate on it, applying it to your life. Then you will truly hear from God. At the moment, I'm in the book of Exodus, in my daily reading, and I'd say this causes problems for most Christians. You know, they're reading the book of Exodus, and then suddenly they come across how to build a tabernacle, how to the priest's garments, you know, all the details of, you know. But this time when I'm reading it, it's just a real blessing. You know, I'm really into it at the moment. You know, I was reading about the high priest's garments, and I was just wondering, like, what are they all for? What do they represent? You know, the stones that he had on his chest are like the stones, are some of the same stones that are in the New Jerusalem. If you look into the book of Revelation, you know, there's so much to learn, you know. I also looked up on the internet, you know, people's interpretations of the priest garments, you know, and I seen this guy wearing a priest garment, high priest garment, and then I looked in a book and it was kind of different, and I was wondering which is the right interpretation, you know. Is it kind of like, does it look like this, or is it on the back, or, you know, it was pretty, really interesting, you know. Just if you just study the Bible and listen to God, like, it's just really interesting. And I was reading about Bezalel and Aholiab, I think is how to pronounce it, the guys who were making, building the tabernacle. And it says God filled them with the spirit of wisdom, and he gave them the talents to be able to do all these cunning works, you know. And it just reminds me of, you know, how God gives each of us talents, you know, to, and we should give him the glory for all those talents that we have. So I got a real blessing out of that. And, you know, I mean, people just find that the most boring thing ever, because they're not paying attention to the scriptures. They're not taking heed. And of course, we need to meditate on the scriptures. As Joshua 1:8, a verse that you're probably, most of you will be familiar with. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. So take heed also means to keep your focus on it. Peter says, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. As unto a light. You know, I just imagine when he's saying that, take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. I just imagine, you know, a dark tunnel, and which is basically this world, and the light is the scripture, the light like a burning torch that we need to follow. And if we take our focus off that light and just go our own way into the dark tunnel, we'll never find our way back, you know, or we'll just get lost. You know, there's one time when I brought Jamie and Josh out to Farn Woods it was like 11 o'clock at night or something like that, and it was really dark, you know, just to see what it would be like in the woods in the dark. And I had a torch, and myself and Jamie were kind of walking behind Josh with the torch. And, you know, Josh, I can talk about him now because he's gone, you know. In his kind of casual style, he was just like, yeah, whatever, I'm not afraid. He's walking into the forest, you know, on his own. And like, we decided to turn off the torch then, you know, and kind of like run back to the car and leave Josh. And like, soon enough then he was like, lads, where are you? Come on. And like, he was just running back to us then, you know, like his cockiness was gone completely. But that's just the way the word of God is, you know. If we need to keep our focus on that light as if we're in a dark forest. The Bible is our light of guidance in a world filled with darkness, ignorance, and confusion. Take heed to it, keep your focus on it, study it daily, and God will speak to you and direct you. So that's my message. I just want to say in conclusion, God speaks from heaven today in a definite, sure, solid, open way through the Bible. The scripture is a greater witness than any prophet, pope, angel, apparition, even pastor or preacher, or even God's audible voice itself. God will speak personally to every individual in this room if you will actively pursue his words through the scriptures by daily Bible reading and daily Bible study. So just a summary of the 3 points, how to hear from heaven. Number one, turn away from fables. There is a stark contrast between the fables of men and words of Almighty God spoken from heaven. Don't believe the lie that you can make your own decisions and you don't need God's words, which is what Satan told Eve in the beginning. Don't let fictional TV, movies, and video games dominate your life and take you away from the Bible. So number one, turn away from fables. Number two, consider what you hold in your hands. The Bible is a more sure word of prophecy than God's voice from heaven to the apostles on the Holy Mount. The Bible is God's words to instruct us and guide us in this life, to tell us about God's truth and character, and to teach us right doctrine. Don't leave it on a shelf or on your bedroom floor. Read it and let it change you like God's voice from heaven would. Number three, take heed to the Bible. Don't just skim over the words of Scripture. Read them, pay attention to them, memorize them and ponder them. Keep your focus on the Bible like a light in a dark place. Without diligent Bible study, your Christian life will fade and decay. So that's my message, and I pray God will bless it. And I just want to close in prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you, Lord, just for just blessing the last while, and for allowing your word to be freely spoken, Lord God, and it's just great we have the freedom, Lord, just to speak your word and listen to it, Lord, and just that we hold it in our hands today, Lord God. And I praise you, Lord, for preserving the Bible and giving us the Bible in our English language, Lord God. I pray you would help us to appreciate that it's as if you were speaking to us from heaven and better, Lord God. And I pray you would just change our hearts, Lord God, just from throwing the Bible, just not appreciating it, Lord, just throwing the Bible on the shelf. I pray you change our hearts, Lord God, and make us just truly Bible students, Lord. Just that would take heed to your word and would just read it daily, Lord God, and just communicate with you in prayer and have you communicate with us through the scriptures. And I pray you just bless the rest of the day, Lord God, and that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.